Amen. Our scripture reading for our passage this morning is John chapter 9. John chapter 9, we'll read the whole chapter. You can't split it up, so we'll read the entire chapter of the man who was born blind, who Jesus gives sight. John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, this is God's holy word. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is this not he who sat and begged? And some said, This is he. And others said, He is like him. And he said, I am he. And therefore they said to him, How were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. And they said to him, Where is he? And he said, I do not know. They brought him, who was formerly blind, to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received a sight. And he said to them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, What do you say about him, because he opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees we do not know, or who opened his eyes we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was born blind and said to him, Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he's from. The man answered and said to them, Why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, You were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us? And they asked, and they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Amen. And Jesus said, For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who may see may be blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore, your sin remains. Amen. Amen. May God bless this reading and our hearing of his holy word. Please be seated. And let us pray and ask God's blessing this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you as blind beggars here for your word. Lord, we thank you that you have seen fit not only to give us scraps from the table, but Lord, full meal. So we ask that you would help us drink and eat in your word this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So have you ever been to a place that was so completely dark you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face? No windows, nothing. Complete and utter darkness. Well, I was to such a place in the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. You know, they have a lot of caverns under the mountains in the Shenandoah Valley. And my family and I, many years ago now, we went on a tour of one of these caverns. And in the middle of the tour, what they did is they gathered us all together, which thankfully they did, and they had, you know, strung lights throughout the caverns, but they brought us together and they then turned them off. It was complete, utter darkness. You literally couldn't see your hand in front of your face. You couldn't see the person who was standing right next to you. It was so dark, you could actually almost feel it. It was so completely dark. There was no light anywhere. Anywhere. Have you ever been in a place where there was no light at all? Complete and utter darkness. Thankfully, it only lasted a few seconds and they turned the lights back on, and here I am to prove it that we have light, and don't we thank God for light? Well, the theme of light and darkness, of day and night, is extremely important in the Gospel of John. If you remember, when does Nicodemus come to Jesus? It is at night. When is Jesus raised from the dead? It is the morning. It is light. And in John 8, which the chapter right before ours, in John 8:12, Jesus declares to us who he is. One of the seven I am statements, I am the light of the world. And we know how John likes this idea of testimony. Jesus will say something and then he backs it up. Well, this is, I think, even the longest miracle in the Gospel of John, except perhaps the resurrection, but this is the longest miracle in the Gospel, coming on the heels of Jesus' declaration that he is indeed the light of the world. Who else but the light of the world, the Son of God, the Messiah, can open the eyes of a man who was born blind? Who is he who holds sight in his hand? Sight and blindness, is it not the light of the world? Amen. Who is it that illumines our dark souls? Hallelujah. Except the Son of God, who is the light of the world. So this morning we're going to walk through this miracle together. And we're first going to understand the miracle itself and look at it, and then go to the responses of the miracle. But the bottom line is this. Believe in Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And see him with the eyes of faith. Amen. believe in Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And we need to see him with the eyes of faith. So let's dive in together here, first seeing that Jesus demonstrates that he is the light of the world. He is the Messiah. In verses 1 through 5, we see Jesus sets the parameters, or he shows us the shape of this miracle. So there's this nearly violent ending at the end of chapter 8 as he is teaching, and now he comes back into the temple complex and he sees this man who is blind from birth. How he knows he was blind from birth, of course, Jesus in his divine nature knows all things, and John tells us this as a way of background. But then we get into verse 2. We say that the disciples ask kind of this strange question. I don't know if you've ever met somebody who was born blind, but I don't know if this would be your first question. Who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, and you might think, well, okay, even if it was more of a culturally acceptable question, which apparently back then it was, you still might say, well, this man's issue was with his eyes, not with his ears. And so this is the first thing that he hears, potentially, from the disciples. Who sinned? The man or somebody else? Well, there was thinking back in the day that it would be possible for blindness or any kind of physical malady to be traced back to some kind of sin, either in the person's life or in the previous generation or previous generations, in fact. And we see some of this in the Old Testament. You might see in Numbers chapter 12, Miriam contends with Moses. Miriam and Aaron contend with Moses, and Miriam is struck with leprosy immediately, basically, upon her sin. And now Moses intercedes for her, and she is healed. But we see sin and punishment, physical malady, or some kind of misfortune right away. But then we also see the previous generation side as well. So you might think of the generation that went into exile, into Babylon. You say, well, was Daniel's generation any more wicked than the previous ones? Were they any more sinful as to they would get the punishment right away because they were so bad? Well, no, they weren't really any more wicked than anybody else previously, but the accumulation of sin over time, and they were the ones that went into exile. They were the ones that really experienced the punishment, a next generation kind of thing. So we see it in Scripture, but is that what is going on here? Well, hold that thought, because we need to talk about blindness just for a moment. In Scripture, blindness is a special category of punishment. It doesn't mean in every case, but listen to this in Deuteronomy chapter 28. In 28, they have a series of blessings and then curses. If you obey, you will be blessed. If you disobey, you will be cursed. Chapter 28, verse 28. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart if you disobey. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. And we know the situation of this man. It leaves him vulnerable, leaves him helpless. He's unable to learn a skill or a trade or something like that because he lacks eyesight. But Jesus tells us, and wonderfully so, disciples, you are wrong. It is not because of this man's sin or the sin of a previous generation that he was born blind. Why was he born blind? Simply put, to give God glory. Amen. To give God glory so that the works of God may be worked in him and others may see the work of God being worked in him. This is why he was born blind. And isn't that the same in our lives as well? Maybe we struggle with some kind of physical malady. We have some kind of physical, quote-unquote, misfortune. Maybe it's blindness. Maybe it's hearing. Maybe it's something else. And we wonder, what did I do to deserve this? What did Jesus say? Well, it may not be because of your sin. Your physical malady, your misfortune may simply serve as an opportunity to give God glory, to remain faithful to Him, even in spite of whatever kind of physical malady that you have. Amen. It is to give God glory. Matthew Henry says this, "Note, the intentions of providence commonly do not appear until a great while after the event, perhaps many years after." The sentences in the book of Providence are sometimes long, and you must read a great way before you can apprehend or understand the sense of them. You see, Jesus must do the works of God while there is still time, while it is still day. He is the light of the world, and He is about to demonstrate it. So Jesus gives us the shape or the parameters of the miracle. And now in verses 6 and 7, He actually performs it. He makes this clay compound and He applies it to the man's eyes. And the man goes into the pool of Siloam and he washes and he comes back seeing. This is incredible. There's no surgery for eyesight back then. There is nothing like that. And I challenge you to find me the doctor who can take some dirt, spit on it, apply it to a blind person's eyes. They go and they wash and they come back seeing. We don't have enough time to wait, so we'll move on. But Jesus, the light of the world, is able to do this. And this is a unique miracle throughout Scripture. There is no other example of a man born blind who is healed from his blindness. If you look in 2 Kings, there are kind of parallel miracles to Jesus' miracles. Did you notice that? I don't know if you looked at the headings as we were nearby. But Jesus is not the only one who fed a large group of people with a small amount of grain. Elisha did the same thing. He feeds, in 2 Kings, a crowd of 100 men with 20 loaves and some grain. Jesus is not the only one who has raised a son from the dead. Elisha did the same. He also healed Naaman of his leprosy. The closest that we get is the passage we read of Elisha praying to God to open the eyes of his servant, close the eyes of the raiders, and then open them again. But it is clear that it is the power of God at work. Amen. And in fact, all of Elisha's miracles are. But there is no parallel between Elisha and Jesus or any other prophet in the Old Testament and this miracle. It is completely and utterly unique. It is a special miracle. And why? Because sight is in the eyes, is in the hands of God. Sight is in the hands of God. Exodus 4:11, as God is talking with Moses. "So the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth?' Or 'Who has made the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord?'" Psalm 146, "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind." Is anybody else? No, it is only the Lord who opens the eyes of the blind. So Jesus makes that compound. The man goes and he washes and he comes back seeing. And who else but the light of the world can illumine the eyes of a man who is born blind? This miracle confirms Jesus' identity as the Messiah, as the Son of God, as the light of the world. Isaiah 49, verse 6. "Indeed," he says, "is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Well, then after this miracle, we have John chapter 10, where he talks about Jesus, the good shepherd. But then there's a debate right after that. If you look at verses 19 through 21, there's a division after Jesus saying, there's always seems to be a division after Jesus teaches. But here we see there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, "He has a demon and he is mad. He's not worth listening to. He's crazy. Why do you listen to him?" And then look at verse 21. Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" No. Only Jesus, only if he is actually who he says he is, can open the eyes of a blind man. And in fact, somebody who is born blind. But this is only the physical healing. If that's not just amazing enough, but we also have the greater spiritual reality of what is going on here. Dr. Vern Poitras from Westminster Seminary has written in a book called Miracles of Jesus, he wrote this, that Jesus has made it clear that physical healing is symbolic of spiritual healing from spiritual blindness. Because Jesus didn't he didn't just come to heal a man born blind and give him sight physically, but even more so spiritually. Without Jesus Christ, we are like blind beggars stumbling around in the dark, not knowing which way is up, which way is down, right or left. We can't see. We are in utter darkness. Ever since Adam and Eve, this is the condition of every single man and woman, boy and girl, whether we can actually see with our physical eyes or not. You see, if you can actually see your hand in front of your face, that doesn't mean you can actually see. This man was born blind, and now he sees not only physically, but he also will see spiritually as well. Amen. Without Jesus, we are left to ourselves. We are in utter spiritual pitch darkness. But with him, he opens our eyes that we may see, and we may see him as he truly is, the Messiah, the Son of God. John 11:10 says this, "But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." Because Jesus came to reverse the curse. Jesus came to open our eyes so that we may see him. So are you tired of stumbling around in the dark? Are you tired of it always being spiritual night? Turn from your sin. Turn from that darkness and turn to Jesus Christ in faith. Ask him to give you the eyes of faith so that you can see him as he really is, the light of the world. Ask him that although you might be like the people who walked in darkness but have seen a great light, those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. This is not a random quote from Isaiah. It is about the coming Messiah, because just a few verses later, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." We need Jesus, the light of the world, to cure us from our spiritual blindness. To repent of our sin, to repent of loving the darkness, and turn to him in faith. To shed it and to turn to him. So Jesus opens the eyes of a man born blind. But the greater miracle is that he opens this man's spiritual eyes as well, and ours too. So there are two responses to this miracle. We see this starting in verse 8 and going all the way to the end of the chapter. We have two groups of people. One group contains everyone except one. The other group contains only one person. And this is a case in which the majority is not correct. But we'll look at them first. We have the neighbors and the Pharisees. So what do they say? Okay, well, we're going to question whether this is the right man. Oh, well, it's the right man? Okay, well, let's call his parents. Oh, it is. Okay, so we don't have that one. Okay, we need to move on then. We have, okay, well then, he wasn't born blind. Nope, let's ask his parents that. Yes, he was born blind. Okay, we don't have that one either. So we can't deny the man or the miracle. So now, guess what? We have to go after the miracle worker. We have to go after Jesus. Oh, well, he healed on the Sabbath. Nobody else in human history has ever opened the eyes of a man born blind, and yet they quibble over whether it breaks their tradition of the Sabbath. Jesus did not violate the fourth commandment. He violated their man-made tradition around the Sabbath. But Jesus heals the man born blind, even though it was on the Sabbath. What better way to spend the Sabbath than to have your eyes opened by the Messiah? Their issue is not an issue whatsoever. So what is going on here? Well, John, the gospel writer, tells us the Pharisees and the neighbors don't believe because, not to simplify it too much, but really when it comes down to it, it is this simple. They don't want to. They don't want to. Their heart has not been changed. This is what the man says. If this man, Jesus, were not from God, he could do nothing. But the Pharisees and the neighbors, they don't want to see that. They want to turn away. They love the darkness. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. And they loved their evil deeds better than seeing. Are we blind? Yes, if you think that you can see, you are blind. And what a warning this is to us. What a warning it is to us who come and read Holy Scripture week in and week out, and hopefully every day, that we get really familiar with it, and it gets further and further away from us. And we end up loving the darkness rather than the light. We get so used to the light, we want to go for the darkness. What a warning it is for us. How close the Pharisees and the neighbors are to Jesus, and yet they turn from him. Why? Because they love their evil deeds more. They love their evil deeds, and they are unwilling to repent of them. These are not those who are outside the church. These are inside the Old Testament church. They doubt Jesus. They refuse to believe in him. Because their deeds are evil, they don't want them exposed, and they refuse to believe. And we say, well, you know, Jesus accepts us as we are. Sort of. God accepts us as Jesus has made us. We are not righteous in ourselves. We are righteous in Christ. We are righteous in him. God sees his perfect record reckoned to us. Not that we are so good. And this is something that we see in our culture. We need all of this kind of affirmation and confirmation. Oh, aren't you wonderful? Aren't you special? Well, not really. Guess what? We're all human beings. There are billions of other people on this planet who are just like us. We are not that special. We are not that deserving. We are not that worthy. And once we get those blinders off, that we think that we need to be affirmed ourselves in who we are better off looking at Jesus and clinging to him and finding our identity, our worth, our value, our significance in our Savior, not in ourselves. As we look in the mirror and say, aren't we so good looking? Or look at all the good things that I have done. Guess what? Your good things aren't good enough to stand before a holy God. Only Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross as the light of the world is good enough. Only he can make satisfaction. So why love the darkness? Embrace the light. Embrace the light as the man who was born blind did. The man who was born blind sees better than the Pharisees. So he is thrown out of the gathering. Jesus goes and he finds him. And he says, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" Verse 36, "And who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Don't skip over 37 too fast. Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." You have seen him. This man's never seen anything else in his life before. But now he sees Jesus Christ, his Savior, the Messiah, right in front of him. And what does he do? As he bows down and he worships him. He professes, "Lord, I believe." And he worships him. John Calvin says this, "The blind man, convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, nearly lost the command of himself, and in rapturous admiration, bowed down before him." Can you imagine what the change in this man's life is like? The only reason he knows it goes from day to night, or night to day, is because he can feel the warmth of the sun on his face. He was in spiritual darkness. He didn't know which way was up, which way was down, left or right, until the day he meets Jesus. And Jesus opens his eyes that he may see. Physically, yes, but spiritually. And what does he do? He bows down in rapturous admiration and worship before his Messiah. Is this the way that we respond to Jesus when we see him in his word? We can often just think, "Oh, these are just black and white words on the page," or if you have a red letter Bible, they might be red. But do we actually fall down and worship him? Maybe not externally because we are Presbyterians, but in our hearts, we are completely devoted to him. That if we have him, we need nothing else. Oh, God may grant us other things, but we need nothing else. He is enough. And we can worship him. So will we turn a blind eye, loving our darkness, loving our sin, or turn to Jesus with the eyes of faith? The dark, not worth it. Whatever passing temporary pleasure it gives, it is not worth it. The world is passing away. Yes. It doesn't see it. It doesn't recognize it. But it is. It is only in Jesus that we can see ourselves as we really are in need of him and see him as our Savior. So who will you worship? The darkness or the light of the world? So have you ever been to a place in which it was so dark you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face? Don't deceive yourself, even if you can physically see today, but you are separate from Jesus. You're blind. Ask Jesus for the eyes of faith that you may see him. Repent of your sins and let the light of Christ burst forth and remove the darkness from your life. And we may glory in the Lord, as the words of Isaiah prophesy from Isaiah 60. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this miracle of Jesus, opening this man's eyes. And Lord, whether it is your will that we physically see or not, may we always look to you with the eyes of faith. To Jesus Christ, our Messiah, may you expel the works of darkness in our heart and our love for it. As we make change day after day, relying upon your grace and your light in our hearts and in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.